Hey everyone, this is Mike from the brand new Dark Fortunes podcast, a show about the best or the worst pirates you've ever heard of on the high seas. And did I mention we're all playing adorable woodland creatures? Well, we are. Anyway, you're listening to Redemption.
This is Redemption, an actual play podcast set in the Star Wars role-playing game system, with Chris Berlew as the GM and also the droid R3A1.
Oh, it's a human.
Andy Fox as the mysterious Duros Isla Zarla.
Okay, who are you and why are you trying to rename my cat?
Kaylee Jung as the Twi'lek Jedi Knight Karel.
No, if you bit Isla, she surely deserved it.
May as the Twi'lek Jedi Knight Nissinda.
You should stop getting hurt. You've done that too much lately.
And Michael Waldschlager II as the Duros pilot Tazi.
You have a good force also.
Episode 516, Stowaway. Dropping the mask off at the Jedi Temple was finally complete, but an urgent mission of mercy has the crew scrambling to get back off planet in record time. With so many shortcuts taken and the crew's morale so low, it is probably the worst time to scrimp on security procedures, especially the oft-neglected stowaway check that Karel usually performs.
A1 gets kind of a glare, but she walks up to Master Thal. Do you hear, or shall I bring it inside?
Bring it inside. You know where it'll go.
Very well. And Karel heads into the temple.
Nissinda looks over at Isla. Now or later?
Later. She's too close.
Okay.
We gotta write this off as the mask calling to you or something.
We'll figure it out. She turns on a heel and walks back to the ship.
I think there's probably just a quick cutscenes of Karel walking through the temple, into the archives, finding Master Nu, turning the artifact over to her, and then she turns around to head back to the ship.
Okay. While that's going on, Tazi, you see that they are bringing several crates of Bacta and loading them up, and other medical supplies and stuff.
Well, it looks like we're going into combat.
And they load the Crowlet's Fang right up to the top with relief supplies, medical supplies.
To make room, and Tazi takes down the shooting gallery to give them a little extra space.
Yep.
All right. I don't think we've had this much cargo on the ship ever.
All right. Once you load it up, Master Thossus, may the Force be with you.
And also with you.
Always.
He kind of gives Tazi a look of, what?
I'm sorry. I'm just used to it. It's second nature. I'm sorry. You have a good force also.
He turns and just walks back into the temple.
Well.
All right, let's go.
All right, the ship is loaded. You were given coordinates as to where to go.
Karel walks back into engineering.
Tazi walks to the cockpit and starts entering coordinates.
Karel shuts the door to engineering and starts putting that panel back.
Wait, did they restock us? Did they restock us?
Yes.
Refuel us?
Yes. Isla sits down in the co-pilot's chair.
Quick. So quick. We've never had that many people attend the ship before. What's going on?
I don't know. I don't even know where we're going.
What do the coordinates say?
Lamored is the planet that you're headed to.
It looks like the coordinates he gave us said Lamored. And we're delivering this, obviously, this back to, but, all right, gig's a gig, so let's do this.
Yeah, let's go.
Hitazi gets on the comm. Everybody strap in. We're taking off.
A1 locks down his magnetic feet. D4 does the same. And
Captain?
And TC-27 is standing in the cockpit.
Oh, yes. Yes, TC.
I need to know where I am to be assigned. The cargo area is full, and there is no room for me.
I'll tell you what. I need you to count, if you could. Go into the fresher right there behind the cockpit there. I need you to count the threads on all the bolts holding the fresher together.
Very important.
We've had some, the fresher's kind of an important piece to the organic crew members here, and we've had some splitting stem bolts in there. They've caused some problems, so we just need to make sure that everything's secure. So if you could count those, make sure they're threaded properly, and that'd be great.
Very well.
And he heads to the fresher, and we see the ship take off from planet. All right. At this point, I'm going to turn running the game over to Angela.
Exciting. Hi, everybody.
Hello, new GM.
Hello, new players.
Angela, how would we know you?
You would know me because I am a player and GM over on the Fandible Podcast Network,
That's
including
it.
The GM for the Fandible Solo Shot, which is a two-person Star Wars Force and Destiny game.
Who's in solo shot with you?
Well, that would be the handsome man who is sitting to my left.
I'm on your right.
I'm to your right. Oh. I see how that goes. So the cat's to the left, so that's Gopher. And to the right is me, Billy, who is the second handsome man in this room. And
you lost to a cat named Gopher.
Hey,
Gopher's adorable.
There is nobody beating that cat, trust me.
Okay.
So he's adorable in every way. But yeah, I play the only character on the solo shot. It is a two-person role-playing game.
Well, the only PC. There are
only PC.
Characters.
There's other characters, yes. Angela GMs, and I'm the PC.
People will also recognize these two from a Season 3 arc, where they played a couple of very memorable Jedi.
All right. Then, with introductions out of the way, I think?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah?
Yes. All right, we will dive right in. So, Lamored is a planet out in the Outer Rim. So, it's a bit of a haul from Coruscant. How does the crew of the Crowlet's Fang, how do you pass the time for, a week or so as you're traveling out that way?
Oh, we play D&D.
Tazi drinks.
Nacinda likes to drink.
Tazi drinks with Nacinda. he listens to some soft jizz music. Watches old Detective Hollows.
Nacinda doesn't appreciate jizz, but Tazi's teaching her.
Mm-hmm.
Corell actually kind of uncharacteristically spends her time either in the engineering bay with the door shut or in her quarters meditating.
Corell, at one point when you are in the engineering bay, what are you doing in there?
For the first part of the trip, she's just kind of puttering around. She takes things apart and cleans them even though they don't need to be cleaned. She calibrates the upper deck guns even though that was just done a month ago. And eventually she just is sitting there doing the nerd equivalent of making network cables that she doesn't need to do. It's all busy work. It's something to just keep her occupied.
A couple of times when you're reaching, you've got your tools all laid out in front of you or behind you, and a couple of times when you reach for a tool, it's not where you left it.
Okay, but it's still there, it's just in the wrong spot.
Yeah, something got knocked aside.
Okay. Every time it happens, Carol just kind of shakes her head what am I doing wrong now? And just moves it back to where it needs to be and then continues with her task. Doesn't really pay a lot of attention to it.
Tazi and Nacinda, when you are having one of your drinks, where are you drinking together?
Tazi rarely leaves the cockpit, so I'm betting Nacinda would probably be sitting in the co-pilot seat, unless Isla was hanging out in there, because that's kind of her chair.
No, it's okay. It's fine. Whatever. Do whatever you want.
Wow.
Ooh. No, it actually is fine. We don't have to be together all the time.
We're not that kind of couple.
No.
At one point, Tazi, when you go to refill drinks from the bottle, what are you drinking?
Tazi's pouring drinks out of a flask, a pretty new looking flask. It's kind of shiny. It has it's got a big T in the middle of it. It's a gift from someone special.
Aww. As you're going to pour another refill, the flask is empty long before it should be.
Div. Hey, how many have you had? Nacinda, how many drinks have you had?
Not enough. I'm still sitting upright in the chair.
You hear coughing from up in the vents.
Did you hear that?
Was that the Lilth cat?
I don't know,
or the monkey thing?
I don't know. I'm still on some meds from my ribs here, so I'm,
No, but I heard it too.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You stand over there, and I'm gonna stand over here.
Okay.
And can you do the force?
Show me stand on the chair?
Can you?
I'm kind of short.
I mean, if you want to. I mean, can you use the force thing to pull the vent cover?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I can do it with my hands, but... Sure, why not?
Well, I mean, I'm taller than you. I can do it with my hands, but I mean, I figured I can grab whatever's in there, and then you can pull the cover.
Okay, we'll do that.
All right, on the count of three.
On three or after three?
We'll go on three. Ready?
On three, okay.
Okay, one, two, three!
Nacinda pulls off the cover with her force.
And Tazi, jams his hands up into the vent to try and grab whatever's in there.
All right, give me a hard brawl roll.
Hi, you picked one of Tazi's best skills.
I'm going to throw in a setback die because it's such tight quarters.
Okay.
So you don't have a lot of maneuverability up there. And you're reaching kind of blindly. So, you know, two setback die.
Okay. Two setback die?
Ooh.
Jeez.
Two setback die.
So what we're saying is that you do not want me to grab whatever's in there. That's what you're saying.
You said this was one of Tazi's best skills.
No, that was sarcastically. I said that sarcastically.
Yeah, this is
it. I clearly said that sarcastically.
It doesn't carry over the internet, so just roll it.
Well, surprisingly, I have two failures and three threats. So Tazi, like, throws his hands up into the vent, and you can clearly hear, like, his knuckles, like, rap on the outside of the vent. He scrapes his hand on the edge.
Well, it's actually, not only do you scrape your hand on the edge, but it feels like something bites you.
What's up there?
Isla will come in with Lizzie on her shoulder. What's going on in here? What are you two up to?
There's something up there in the vent.
How long's Lizzie been on your shoulder?
Like, all day?
Stupid.
Yeah, it must be a Lolf cat.
No, something bit me up there.
Hey, come on down, little fella.
Is the bite on Tazi's hand clearly from a humanoid?
It is definitely from a humanoid.
A small one.
Someone's on the ship. Ouch.
In the vent?
No, it's not a cat. It's somebody. It's something. Somebody's in there. Ow.
We're not going to bite you.
Look at the bite on my hand. Look at the bite on my hand. That's not a cat bite.
You should stop getting hurt. You've done that too much lately.
Yeah, thanks. That's my thing, Tom.
Here, you know what? How about the two of you handle this, and I'm going to go see D4 and get this disinfected.
Sure.
Okay.
Lucinda's still up on the chair.
Buddy, do you just want to come down for a quick second? Like, we're in hyperspace. We're not going to hurt you.
Yeah, we're fine. Just don't bite us.
Do you understand us?
So I think you're not trying to coerce whoever this is, Dad. It sounds like you're trying to charm them.
That'll work.
Yeah.
You want to charm? All right. All right. So that is an average check.
Okay. My end result is one threat.
So what is a good threat for a failed charm roll? You get a bolt thrown at your head. It doesn't hit you.
Ah!
But something has been thrown at you. And it looks like something that would have been from engineering.
Oh, Life Day! Isla catches the cat. Life Day, what's up there with you? She, like, picks the cat up and, like, looks him very deeply in the eyes. Tell me what's going on.
I didn't see Life Day actually get on the ship.
Well, I mean, somebody might have ensured that he came with us, you know, whatever.
I don't think Life Day could have thrown that thing at you.
Oh, no, Life Day definitely didn't do that. But Life Day probably knows who did.
His name's not Life Day, you hear from the vents.
His name is Life Day. He's my cat. I named him.
No.
Yes, I got him for Life Day.
And suddenly a head pops out of the vent of a 8-year-old boy glaring at you. He definitely has the haircut of what you would assume would be a youngling. It's very kind of a buzz cut on the sides, very short. And he's glaring at the two of you before holding out a hand. He's hanging upside down towards Life Day to try to get the cat back his way.
Isla will hold Life Day to her chest and, like, hold him really firmly. Okay, who are you and why are you trying to rename my cat?
It's he doesn't like the name Life Day.
How do you...
Why?
His name is Gundark.
Gundark? And how do you know this? Also, who are you?
And why are you in our vent?
The kid hesitates for a second, and then he pops back into the vent, hiding for another second or two, and you think maybe he's trying to scurry away, but you finally see a pair of legs stick out, and he falls back down to the ground, and with him comes a small backpack and also a large amount of trash from, like, ration bars that he's stolen, things that he's stolen around the place, mostly just provisionals, and he glowers at the two of you. I'm not hiding. I'm borrowing the vents in order to get to Llama Red.
Okay. Are you one of the Jedi kids?
And the young boy looks away and kind of shrugs. He's a youngling, but he's wearing dark side outfit instead of white. He is dusty as hell, but it is definitely that of a youngling training garment.
Oh,
I'm not a Jedi.
Well, neither are I'm not, anyway.
Good.
Jedi don't ride around in vents, anyway.
Exactly.
What was your name again?
I'm Castian.
Castian?
Castian Saya.
Okay. Hi, I'm Isla. This is Nacinda.
Hi.
And we're not gonna hurt you.
I know. I'll bite you.
Don't bite.
We saw that. Out of curiosity, what are you doing on the ship?
Well...
Besides stowing away?
You're going to Lamarad, right?
Yeah.
My mom and dad are on Lamarad. And I figured I could convince them that I won't be as bad as I used to be, and I'd be allowed to come back with them. I'm not good at being a Jedi. And I overheard the Masters. They say I'm too sensitive. And we all know what happens to kids who don't get picked as Padawans. They end up at AgriCorp, and they just get made to plant stuff and do boring stuff. And I don't want that. So I just want to go back home and see my mom and dad. And I don't want to be a Jedi anymore.
I mean... Okay.
That's perfectly fine.
Well, nobody here, is gonna make you be a Jedi.
Well, okay. The Jedi Masters never let us talk to our parents. They say they're attachments.
Oh. Well, I mean, they are, but...
Well, you're not supposed to have them. No Jedi is supposed to talk to their parents. And that's why I was hiding, and I didn't mean... I'm sorry for biting. I thought you weren't cool.
Oh, we are very cool, though.
Yeah, specifically us two.
Yeah.
Can I have Gundark back?
Isla will give him Life Day back.
He does that basic kid thing where he has his arms around the cat's, tummy, and the cat's legs are just sticking out awkwardly, and the cat's just staring at you saying, what are you doing to me?
Here, you can hold him like this, and Isla will sort of rearrange the cat so that it's a little, better.
Oh, yeah, he absolutely does. The cat and Castian seem to be, they're okay. He seems to have a flair for animals.
Cool.
So how long do we get until we get the Lamarad?
It's about 2 days, so that's not a short amount of time.
Okay, well, as long as you guys promise that you're not going to try to stop me, then I'll stay down here.
Okay.
There's not much we can do. We're on the ship until we get there.
Yeah.
We'll need to actually find your parents when we get there.
Oh, it's very easy. I got their names. It's Lisbeth and Dorian, and they're doctors.
Oh, okay. And do they know you're coming?
No. I mean, we're not allowed contacting our parents.
Oh, that sucks.
Well, you managed to get on ship. What else can you do?
It's not that hard. I mean, that Twi'lek was tearing the ship apart looking for something, and she left a panel open, and I just snuck in then.
The Twi'lek?
Karel.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Karel. Do you think Karel's gonna be cool with this, Nacinda?
Well, she doesn't... I don't know. She might be a bit fussy at first, but there's nothing she can do. He's on the ship already.
Okay, good. Because I'm like, if...
Like, I don't think she'd throw him out the airlock.
Yeah, because that's kind of our options, I guess.
Yeah.
What? He says as he takes a step back.
Well, exactly, because we wouldn't do that.
We're fine, yeah. Maybe we can stick him in the snuggle pod for now. It's safe. Pillows.
Yes, it is safe. Okay, cool.
It's not being used.
Yeah, he's just kind of staring at you, unsure of what you're talking about.
Well, isn't Karel busy? She's
Karel is busy.
I thought last I heard she was fixing things and cleaning things and calibrating. Just, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll sneak him back, I guess.
All right.
As the three of them are making their way from the cockpit to the snuggle pod, an angry Tazi comes around the corner from the medical bay, and he's kind of looking at his hand. He's walking back toward the cockpit. And he's not paying attention to them. And Tazi walks right past the three of them.
Bye, Tazi.
Under his breath, you hear this Griffin little Minoc that bite me on.
It was just Life Day. Don't worry.
Don't worry about it.
As he's walking by and Tazi walks by, unfortunately, he's a very empathetic boy. Tazi will hear as they're about to round the corner. Sorry for biting you.
No, it's fine. It's all right. What? What?
That was the cat. Don't worry.
Tazi stops dead in the door of the cockpit and turns slowly to look over his shoulder.
Yeah, you see him.
Oh.
We're not telling Karel.
What? Why are we not? What? So, wait, this is the little...
So...
This is... You bit me.
We have a stowaway.
No, I get that.
Yeah.
I'm Castian.
This is Castian. He wants to go back to his parents. He doesn't want to be a Jedi.
Wait, he's a Padawan?
No.
No, he's the step before that.
A youngling.
Why?
I'm part of the Rancor house.
Why are you on our ship? You're a stowaway? You stowed away.
I mean...
Yeah.
Well, I guess, but you guys are going to Lamored, and I thought since you're already going to Lamored, I can go to Lamored, because that's my home planet. My parents live on Lamored.
That's not how it works, kid. That's not how it works. Like, you have to... You pay for passage.
Tazi, he's a kid.
Kids have money.
He brought Life Day. It's kind of like payment.
Kids don't have money. What are you talking about? Especially have Jedi.
Credits. Kids work for credits. Kids have jobs.
Kids do have jobs. They have jobs before they... Well, it doesn't matter. We should probably get him to the Snuggle Pod, and then we can break it to Corel.
Yeah.
We're not hiding this little leech from anybody, okay?
Fine.
I'm not a leech.
You didn't pay for passage, kid. That makes you a leech.
Come on, yeah, well, Tazi.
Hey, you're lucky I'm not putting you in the airlock.
I'm not going into an airlock.
Yeah, you're not. I'm not putting you in an airlock, but you're lucky I'm not putting you in an airlock.
You're lucky I didn't bite more than your hand.
Oh, come on.
Come on, you two.
That's it.
Tazi, what are you doing?
I'm not doing anything. Put him in the Snuggle Pod, get him some food, he can stay there for the next couple days.
Cool.
Do you like cookies? I think there's some leftover cookies in the kitchen.
Oh, I do.
He only gets the burnt ones.
Hey, I have gotten a lot better.
You let A1 make those cookies for him.
No, I'm the one who burns cookies. You can't even keep track.
A1 burns cookies, also.
I burn... Oh, okay. Well, I burn cookies.
No, but, I mean, your cookies... Okay. I mean, your cookies taste good. A1's burnt cookies are straight-up burnt cookies. And that's the cookies that this little Gundark, this little Minok is going to get.
Castian.
Mm-hmm.
Tazi, you're acting really weird.
You didn't get bit.
You attacked me first.
I didn't attack you.
He was just trying to get whatever it was out of the vent, and that happened to be you.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we've had stowaways before. It's fine. Well, not on my watch.
No. The kids all bite first, ask questions later. I get it.
We're still standing out here. We need to get him away first, and then we can have a discussion.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah, Tazi, he's just a kid.
A1 and D4 hear this, and they walk from the back. A1 just stops and kind of looks.
A1, do me a favor. Go make some cookies, burn them real good, give them to this kid.
Immediately, as he sees R3A1, he drops the cat as if it's the least interesting thing he's ever seen. The cat falls, lands on his legs, and the kid immediately walks towards A1. And the kid's like, oh, that's an R3A1 unit. And he starts just kind of leaning around it and examining it. And just he starts spouting off all these like upgrades that you might have added to it. Anything that is visual to cast.
Hey, look out, A1. He bites.
A1,
he's a biter.
A1 goes, oh, it's a human. And he starts rolling around examining Castian at the same time. See this weird circle as they look at each other.
You gave it a vocalizer? Was it a T6 series or what? Did you go for the T7?
It's a T7 with some modifications.
Wow. And yeah, Castian's just very excited about seeing the droid.
We didn't give him anything. He gave himself a vocalizer.
Oh, that's
good.
D4 looks at Tazi. Captain, where did the child come from?
That's a great question.
The vent above my seat in the cockpit. He's a leech. He's a little stowaway Minok.
I'm not a leech and I'm not a Minok. I'm just trying to get home.
You didn't pay for passage, kid. That makes you a Minok. Minok's thief power off of our cables and...
Tazi, this is a child? I think we can take a breath right now. Like, it's okay.
Hey, don't look at me. I like kids, all right? I like kids. I like those kids that we ran into that liked us, that idolized us. Those kids were great, but those kids didn't try and sneak on my ship and, steal our ration bars and leave garbage all over the place. The best thing you did, kid, was you cleaned out the vent above my cockpit, so I guess I should say thanks for that.
Well, good. Then that paid for my passage, because you said kids work, so I just did.
I mean, he has you there, Tazi.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, we're all on the kid's side now. Okay, I get it. Okay, no, that's fine.
He's resourceful.
You know what? That's fine. The kid's fine here. Just keep him away from me, all right?
Go back to listen to your light jizz.
I will. Thank you. And Tazi turns on his heel and, like, runs it, walks in the cockpit, and slams the door shut. And you hear, a few seconds later, you hear, like...
He listens to old person people music.
Yes. Yes, he does.
Yeah. I mean, I can appreciate some of it. At least I'm starting to with drinking a little bit. Anyway, those cookies?
Yeah, it is better when cookies. You're drunk.
Come on, A1, we can get cookies.
Okay.
All right, and you go off to serve up some cookies to the kid. And I think from that, if we want to montage a little bit of what else happens on the ship over the next 2 days, how do you keep the kid out of Carell's sight? I feel like that's mission one, right?
I feel like at some point she's going to figure it out.
If you keep Castian in the snuggle pod, Carell will never notice. Unless he uses the force, she might detect that. But if Castian's in the snuggle pod, like you guys were talking about, she would never notice. Because Carell is dealing with her emotions by trying not to be snippy or angry. And she's basically trying to zen out. And to do that, she's staying away from people if she can.
So if we asked Castian to stay in the snuggle pod, would he?
Oh, yeah. Castian is, like, if you give him cookies and stuff, it's a two-day trip. So if you're just going to leave him in the snuggle pod, he first will be like, wow, those are fluffy handcuffs. But then, yeah, but he's, yeah, he'd totally be fine, but he would get bored. And after, I mean, if A1's with him, after a while, he'd start goofing around with A1, and that would definitely include using force move to lift him up.
I almost feel like after, like, the rest of the crew seems to be on board with Castian, like, hanging out on the ship, and they're hiding him from Carell, and Tazi doesn't want to see him. So, like, I almost feel like this montage is a couple scenes of, like, A1 and maybe the kid, like, doing something, like, the force moving stuff, and Tazi opening the cockpit door, like, to go do something, seeing them and turning around, going back in the cockpit and slamming the door shut. Like, there's, like, at least one of those in this montage.
In the montage, we could have Nisinda and Isla distracting Carell either by breaking a few things accidentally and having to have her fix it.
After a while, Castian is like walking around bored because he's done everything he can, and he starts just pressing some buttons. You know, light jizz starts playing. He's like, oh, gross. And he starts like playing other things, and like lights come out and starts flashing. And he's like, what? This is weird. And why do they have these weird soaps? And then he like finally decides that he's tired of the light jizz, and he tries to turn it off, but he only makes it louder. And so he digs into the wiring, and he's trying to, and he basically short circuits the radio system. Castian is a little mechanical mayhem gremlin, so
in the cockpit, Tazi sees like the light come on above the escape pod / snuggle pod, and he like looks at it, and he just like flicks the switch off. From the cockpit.
Like turning off the alarm?
Like he's turning off the notification in the cockpit. Like not the alarm, but like he's just like turned off that active light. Like it's almost like pulling the fuse on a light on your dashboard because the light's always on. So you just pop the, you know.
Carell comms A1 then.
Yeah.
Hey, can you check the snuggle pod? There's a circuit alarm from in there. And if Tazi and Isla are in there, I don't want to, you know. You can't unsee such things, and you can at least edit your own memory.
Sure.
All right, let me know if I need to work on it.
Okay.
A1 goes in and fixes it.
Sorry.
It's all right. Maybe you should tinker with something else.
Do you want to play Djarik?
Sure. Wait.
Yeah, and they'll sit down and play a Djarik game. Castian is not great at it, but, you know, he's learning.
A1 cheats.
A1 cheats the shit out of it.
They play a game.
So, when you're still one day out from Lamared, you get the alert that a message has come in. I imagine Tazi, you'd be on the bridge, you'd be the one to receive it.
Yeah, it's from... Yeah.
What's that noise?
That's it's a communications alert. We're getting a message.
But we're in hyperspace.
Yeah, I didn't think we could. Go ahead and... Do you mind checking the comm?
Yeah, Isla will turn the comm on.
So it is a pre-recorded message. It's not a conversation, and it's marked as for Carell.
Oh.
From the Jedi Temple.
Isla will calm Carell.
Yeah?
There's a message for you from the Jedi Temple.
Okay, go ahead and patch it back to engineering, would you?
Okay, sure.
It's that button over there. It's that one. That one right there. Yeah.
Okay, so this would hang up. This is transfer.
Yeah, that's transfer right there.
Okay. And what extension is the engineering bay?
I mean, it should just be the, like, you should see that it says E there, right there. EB. Okay. That's engineering bay.
I thought
bay.
E meant emergency. Okay.
Carell, as said, it is a message from the Jedi Temple addressed directly to you, and it comes through as text from a Jedi that you're not familiar with. But the text conveys that they're very concerned because there is a youngling from the temple that hasn't been seen since, possibly coincidentally, the Crowlet's Fang left, and they have reason to be concerned that he may be trying to get to Lamored. So if you see a stowaway youngling, please report it as soon as possible.
Oh, great. Well, nobody's on the ship, so I guess we'll see. If we see him there, we'll do it.
Girl, secures her station and heads up to the cockpit.
All right, cockpit crew. Corell's coming up.
The door to the cockpit is shut.
Tazi!
Who is it?
Tazi!
Oh, it's Corell. Go ahead. Come on in. Okay. Come on in.
Who left all this cat fur in the hall?
Ugh. It's a stupid loth cat.
Oh, the Life Day one? Ugh. Anyway, hey, Tazi, we need to keep an eye out when we get to Lamored. Apparently there's been a runaway or an abduction from the Jedi Temple. I don't know. Some kid has gotten himself lost. So we need to keep an eye out when we get to Lamored. I got a message saying we need to keep an eye out.
You know, maybe you should talk to Isla about that.
What?
Well, I mean, it's not a bounty.
What would they do to somebody who wanted to leave the Jedi Order?
I don't know. They could be lost. He could be hurt. I don't know.
But they wouldn't, just say, casually, informally, what if the person wanted to leave the Jedi Order and go back to their families?
I don't know. You can leave the Jedi Order whenever you want.
Oh, okay.
Why?
Oh. Hypothetically, how angry would you be if we had kept a stowaway youngling from you?
Are you saying that there is a stowaway youngling on the ship and you are now bringing it to my attention now that I'm asking about it?
Maybe?
I would say it depends on how much longer you prevaricate and keep this charade up.
He's a youngling, he's in the snuggle pod.
Curl turns and heads towards the snuggle pod.
When you enter the snuggle pod, I don't know, he's found the bubbles and he's playing with them.
So yeah, in the middle of the snuggle pod is a small 8-year-old boy. Probably doesn't. Did he bring a change of clothes with him?
He brought like a.
Okay.
It's more of what the younglings wear for and like a nightgown when they go to sleep. So he's wearing that. His clothing look a little like they got a little dusty at some point, but they've been cleaned. So he's standing there.
Yeah, some of those stains don't come out.
Yeah. Yeah, but as soon as the door opens, he turns around and stares as he notices the Twi'lek that he saw earlier when she was going through the ship, but that's about it. And he just kind of stays there for a second before saying, hi.
Hi. Missing Padawan, I presume?
No. I'm a youngling. I'm not a Padawan.
Were you in training at the Jedi Temple?
Yeah. I'm a youngling.
This is Castian. Castian, this is Corell. She is a Jedi.
Okay, and if what I've learned is correct, are you wishing to leave the Jedi Order?
They say that we're not allowed to leave the Jedi Order until after they decide if we want to be Padawans or not. We have to wait until we're Agacorp.
Well, okay. So, well, this just gets better and better every time I turn around. Have you been fed?
Yeah, I've eaten a lot of cookies, only the burnt ones, because the mean one doesn't let me have the good fresh ones.
Okay.
Yes, but we've given you a lot of other food, too.
Is this true?
Yeah, they have.
Very well. If you need anything, let me know.
I'm going to still be able to see my parents, right?
Where are your parents?
They're on Lamored. They're doctors there.
Well, we're going to Lamored. If time allows, then yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And Curl just kind of shakes her head, and actually she heads towards the other escape pod.
Castian? I mean, you're planning on staying with your parents, right?
If they allow me to stay.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was just making sure we are on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I assume I had parents at one point, but I definitely don't remember them, so I get it. How old were you when you were taken away?
I think I was 3. I don't remember a lot about my dad, but I remember a lot about my mom. My dad was He was one of the surgeons. He was a xenobiologist, and he specialized in Mon Calamari. And my mom, she was a xenobiologist, but she was more of a scientist. And I actually, I snuck into the archives and looked on the HoloNet, and she's written a lot of papers about sea slugs and other weird underwater things. She's a big deal.
Oh, that's wonderful. They don't let you have access to the HoloNet?
Well, you're just not... They don't let you look up certain things, like your parents.
That seems horrible.
They say that once you have decided to be part of the Jedi Order, you must focus entirely on the Jedi Order and to serve the betterment of everyone.
But no three-year-old is making decisions.
He just kind of shrugs his shoulders. It's like, I don't know.
Well... I guess I'll have to talk to the Jedi on board. I don't really understand the Jedi Order very well.
I don't know. They say that we have a power, and if we aren't closely watched and guided, that power could be used poorly and dangerously.
Well, I mean, I don't know anything about that.
I don't know a lot about stuff either. It's okay, though. Yeah, he goes back to playing. He has a card game, a Jajara game, that he's trying to figure out how he was beat by A1. It seemed almost impossible move, but A1 did beat him, and he's going to figure it out.
Castian, have you ever heard of Dungeons & Dragons?
No.
Scene.
Does anybody want to do anything else on the ship before we land?
The camera follows Corella as she heads back to engineering and shuts the door again and just types out a reply message that just says, "Youngling found, will return on our return."
Corell, you will get a message back. It probably takes a little bit. I don't think this is entirely instantaneous communication in hyperspace, but it is a single line. Do not let the child see his parents.
Corella gets that message and just kind of frowns, but she just kind of sits back in her chair and just stares at it.
While everybody was doing that, Camera will pan over to Nacinda, who's sitting cross-legged on the bed in Corell's room. There's little bits of paper all around her, and she's trying to fold some little paper flowers to surprise Corell. Make up for the abruptness that's been lately.
Aw, that's sweet. Okay. Corell, do you want to discover that before we land?
No, I'm good. Corell has not been going back to her room to sleep.
So, Tazi, you take the Crawlet's Fang out of hyperspace in the Lamared system. Lamared is the second planet in the system out of 7 planets. It is a beautiful tropical planet. You can tell that even from space. The planet is 85% water, no polar ice caps. There's 2 large continents. The larger one is in the north, and then a still substantial one is in the south. And that is where the coordinates you have direct you to land, Tazi.
Tazi will bring the ship into atmosphere and head that way.
You are going towards beautiful, white, sandy, tropical beaches. As you are entering atmosphere, you definitely see this is not a heavily industrialized world. You're seeing signs of civilization. Certainly, there are settlements on this planet, but it hasn't reached heavy levels of industrialization or commercialization. It seems that, you know, this planet is so far out of the way, it's not on any commonly used transit routes, that this is, you know, people don't come here on purpose very often. So these are just people here who are out here making a quiet living for themselves on the edge of the galaxy.
Sounds good. Quiet's nice.
It's a tropical planet, Tazi.
Oh, yeah.
You like those.
We don't get to spend a lot of time on tropical planets, so, I mean, I'm thrilled to be here for sure.
Cool. Well, hopefully it'll be fun.
Man, I kind of feel like it might be. We just have to drop the back to off and whatever we're going to do with this little Minok that's riding for free. So
about the same time that Tazi and Nizzle are having that talk, Corell goes to the common area, gets some ration packs and some of her cookies, and kind of knocks on the snuggle pod door.
You may enter.
Corell opens the snuggle pod, walks in, and shuts the door behind her, and just kind of sets everything down, and then sits across from Castian on one of the big fluffy pillows.
Castian, there's windows in this escape pod, or the snuggle pod, right?
Nope. It's basically...
Oh, there's not?
It's floor-to-ceiling pillows, basically.
Okay. But he does feel like the vibrations of us leaving hyperspace, and so he seems very excited. Almost, he can almost sense him being close to Lomared. Are we almost home?
We are in the Lomared system, yes.
And he bounces excitedly on his toes.
Castian, we need to have a discussion.
Okay.
And she puts a comm link down between the two of them.
Okay.
Because of circumstances, I must ask you to stay here. I will find your parents, and I will get them to comm you on this comm link.
But I want to see them. I need to explain to them that I won't be bad, that I won't break anything anymore, and they can take me back.
I understand that. That's why I'm going to let them talk to you, but you cannot see them.
Is it because I bit the mean one? I didn't mean to. I apologized.
If you bit Isla, she surely deserved it. It's okay. This is a matter. It's a Jedi thing.
I don't want to be a Jedi. The other one said that I was only three. I didn't have a choice to be a Jedi. They made me be a Jedi.
Castian, I sort of understand. I was brought to the Order when I was four. But for me, it was a very easy choice. The issue is, you are not in control of your Force abilities yet. That takes time. Once you are in control of your Force abilities, at least to the extent where you cannot hurt anyone, then you may make the choice to leave. I did. But then I chose to return and was given that chance.
Then I'll be old. I don't want to be a Jedi. I don't want to be a Padawan. I don't want to fight in a war. I don't want to die in a war. I just want to be a kid of my mom and my dad. I don't want to be this.
I know, but you were born with a strong connection to the Force.
And Krell kind of reaches out with her Force senses just to see if she can feel how strong Castian is. Is it a strong talent, or...
No.
Okay.
Honestly, maybe he would be the last pick as a Padawan, but he's not strong. He doesn't have the temperament. He's emotional. He's sensitive. And all these things to combine together, it doesn't make him... Like, it's not the Force that would keep him away. It's just who he is. He is probably not the right person to be a Jedi.
Okay.
Deep down.
Castian... All I can tell you is, right now, I will give you a chance to speak to your parents. I can give you that. Anything further, I cannot promise you right now. I will call the temple and see if I can go further. But I ask you to abide by what I'm saying right now until I can find out more information. I hear what you're saying, and I can feel the truth in your words, but we both have duties.
Castian opens his mouth. You could tell he is not happy about this, but there's a rare thing that you see in an 8-year-old. He understands something, as if he realizes that you are letting him speak to his parents, so maybe he can, like, you know, talk to them. He realizes if he keeps on arguing, he might lose his parent privileges, which is very sad to say. So he just kind of closes his mouth, but he's shooting you the only a glare an 8-year-old can give you. Just complete... absolute annoyance and betrayed, but he grabs the comm, walks to a pillow, and sits down and just stares.
Very well. I will go and make that call now. It may take a couple hours to get an answer, but the moment I hear, I will let you know.
And Krell kind of stands up and turns to leave, but just stops with her hand on the door.
Believe me, I actually know what you're going through.
Why do people keep on telling me they know what I am going through and what I need? I don't even know that.
I'm just saying I have some experience with not feeling like I fit in and feeling like my emotions make me unfit to be a Jedi. I have some experience there, and I am sympathetic to you. So I appreciate that you're willing to give me this chance, and I'll take a chance on you.
Cold silence. He looks away as if that's all he has to say on it. He no smart aleck response. He just looks away.
Karel just nods quietly and leaves, but she does lock the snuggle pod behind her.
This episode's Patreon backer is David Dunn. Thanks, David.
Thank you, David. We appreciate your support of the podcast.
A1, I can read Arabesh. I don't need... All right, fine. Redemption is played using the Star Wars role-playing game system from Fantasy Flight Games and Lucas Books. If you enjoy Redemption, reach out to us on social media. Facebook and Twitter are at RedemptionPod, and our website is RedemptionPodcast.com. We're also on Instagram at RedemptionPodcast. Please review the show on whatever podcatcher you use. This not only helps people find the podcast, it also really helps the crew feel better about themselves. If you like our crew, you can toss a few credits our way at patreon.com/redemption. Thank you, all of you. All right, A1, how is that? I can read, okay?